I'm going to invite the grown-ups to be seated and the children to come on up if you're here in the sanctuary. We're going to gather around the piano and we can sit here or stand here or maybe stand behind Mr. Julian. Just come on up. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we will have a minute to share with Mr. Julian. Come on down.
Amen. All right. Hi, everybody. I'm going to get on y'all's level. Hi, everybody. How are you doing today? Good. Now, who do you have with you there? That's Jesus? Praise the Lord. Can you show everybody? Everybody, behold. Seventh Sunday after Epiphany. Indeed, we see Jesus on today. Now, today we're going to be talking about rest. Does anybody here like taking naps? Notably, very few of the children who need to be taking naps like doing so. That's real. Do any of the adults like taking naps? Yes, especially the adults responsible for said children. Yes. My baby girl is 18 months now, and she doesn't always like to take naps. But guess what? Naps are a gift from God. Can you all say that? Naps are a gift from God. And so Jesus, who you were just holding up, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your souls. Jesus cares about the fact that we can take naps and that we can rest and let our parents rest too. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we're going to sing a little song together, and Miss Tremaine is going to help us sing that. Okay? So you can sing this song to yourself, grown-ups too, when you feel like you want to take a, you don't want to take a nap, but you're supposed to, okay? All right. This is called God Give Us Your Rest, and actually is a foretaste of where we're going as a congregation later.
Treasure we found. God give us your rest.
Everybody, God.
God give us your rest. God give us your rest. We lay burdens down for treasure we found. God give us your rest. God give us your rest.
There you go.
God give us your rest. We lay burdens down for treasure we found. God give us your rest.
Come, Holy Spirit, bless these children.
God give us your rest.
May they sleep. Bless their dreams.
God give us your rest. We lay burdens down for treasure we found. God give us your rest.
Amen.
Good job.
So you can sing that song. You can sing that song. Your parents can sing that over you when you're going to sleep. And even when you're fighting sleep, we can pray, God give us your rest. Amen. All right. Have a great time.
And so, yes, in Children's Church, in 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie.
All right. See you later.
I say thank you, Mr. Julian.
Bye. Yeah, you know, great. Well, hello, everybody. Sometimes we don't like to take naps either, even when we need to. And so this is a great segue into where we are today. It's a delight to be with you. My name is Julian. And I am joined today by Tremaine, and we are here to give notes of rest. My hope with Notes of Rest is that you all can receive an invitation, those of you who are weary, which, if we're honest, can be all of us, that we receive God's invitation today to listen for God's transforming rest practiced in the Bible and in Black music. My hope is that you're able to let your shoulders relax just a little by the end of our time. We'll be doing a lot of singing, but also in addition to that, we'll have time to reflect on scripture passages that speak to various kinds of rest God has given. We've already begun singing about the rest God gives, and so I'm so thankful that we have a chance to go a little deeper. Before going any further, I want to give thanks to the shepherd of this house, Sister Carol, Brother Will, and thank you also to the sopranos in the choir. I love a good descant, and on that fourth verse, God bless y'all. Thank you. But thank you so much, West End, for having me, for having Tremaine. It's a delight, and we'll be at the OED later, so looking forward to being with you there. Our first passage today comes from Exodus chapter 16, and I'll be looking at this bit about Sabbath, which is one of the notes that we get to practice together. You have the passage there in the text. I'll read it aloud, and then I'll ask a few questions, give you time to reflect, and then we'll go and sing together. Hear these words from Exodus chapter 16. On the seventh day, some of the Israelites went out to gather, and they found none of the manna. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you food for 2 days. Each of you stay where you are. Do not leave your place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have two questions for you out of this passage. The first is, what anxieties threaten your Sabbath practice? Now, you can raise your elbows or raise your toes, but does anybody here keep the Sabbath? Okay, yeah, you're raising toes. Amen. The Sabbath is a gift from God that we get to receive and practice one with another every week. And sometimes it may need a change because everybody's song is a little different, right? I love that it was in the call to worship, the bit about melody swelling to the praise of God. So we all have different melodies that we might sing. But the reality is, even in our respective solos, this is a gift from God for us to practice. Sabbath is a gift that we have, and we see in the passage that it was a gift that the people initially to whom it was given struggled to keep. They had a challenge because of the anxieties that beset them coming out of Egyptian slavery. They had once been enslaved, and their ancestors had been enslaved for 400 years. And so working all the time was what they knew in their bones, and maybe you all can relate. But now they were in a new life. And even though they were free, in another sense, they were still chained because they were now food insecure. And so because of that, they were taking the gift that God had given in manna, and they were trying to procure too much, and the extra was rotting on the days that they weren't supposed to do that. And then they were trying to get more, going out on Sabbath and trying to procure food then. And we see here in the text, God says, "Yo, I told you, you get enough on the day before Sabbath. You prepare twice as much to then rest." But their anxieties about food, about how they were going to make it, kept them from resting. So they had to listen deeper. The reality is, we may not be picking manna in the same exact way, but we can have anxieties that threaten our Sabbath practice. And so my invitation to you is to let the Spirit speak to you in just these few minutes even about what anxieties might keep you from resting on a weekly basis in the gift that God gives. The second question is about transformation. How does Sabbath change you? Now, here in the text, we see that by virtue of God confronting them about their anxiety, they were changed to moving anxiously, trying to get extra food, to actually sitting and receiving God's rest. How does Sabbath change you? And to be sure, Sabbath isn't just a practice for ourselves, so you can ask this question corporately. How does Sabbath change West End? How does Sabbath change your family? How does Sabbath change the city of Nashville? I'm too young to know this, but some of y'all here remember the era of the blue codes or the blue laws. Anybody here remember that? I see some people nodding in the back. You don't have to out yourself, but I see you. The blue codes and the blue laws, they spoke to a time where you didn't have movie theaters open on Sundays. You didn't have the banks open. Of course, that can seem like a supremely bygone era by virtue of how much we can do now. Everything is always open, always available. There's no need to rest. But my hope is that Sabbath, the intentional restraint that may not come from the outside world, but the intentional restraint that we might practice, can change us, can help us lower anxiety, hold fast and hold near and hold dear those God's given us to rest with, and help us remember the God who is the good gift giver of them all. And so my prayer is that as we go into this song, Just Be, that I've written, that Tremaine will lead, that at first you have a chance to just sit with these questions. I'll play for a minute, give this, you a chance to let the questions sit in. And then once you hear Tremaine sing, she'll invite you in and we'll sing together.
Work takes pause, time to draw near, just be. Sabbath has come, work takes pause, time to draw near, just be. Creation is good, so will rest, and oppression won't win, so will rest. Creation is good, so will rest, and oppression won't win, so will rest.
Everybody,
Sabbath has come. Work takes pause, time to draw near, just be. Sabbath has come, work takes pause, time to draw near, just be.
Creation is good.
Creation is good. So will rest, and oppression won't win. So will rest. Creation is good. So will rest, and oppression won't win. So will rest. Sabbath has come. Work takes pause. Time to draw near, just be. Sabbath has come, work takes pause, time to draw near, just be. Amen.
Amen. Creation is good. God created in six, rested on the seventh, and so will rest, like our creator God did. And oppression won't win. God freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and so they were to rest and not become the pharaohs that God had liberated them from. And so too is it with us. Oppression won't win, so we'll rest as well. Amen. Now, the next two notes that we'll be looking at and practicing today are about sleep and sanctuary. And this comes from Pilate's wife towards the end of Jesus' life, apropos given we're moving towards Lent. Hear these words from Matthew chapter 27. While he, Pilate, was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Amen. This is a passage that's speaking to the festival that Pilate just had, or was in the midst of having, where he was going to sentence either Jesus Barabbas or Jesus the Messiah to death and let the other one go free. And in this passage, we see Pilate's wife be disturbed in a dream and being shown in that dream that Jesus was the innocent one. This is notable for several reasons. One being that all the men who were around Jesus, who would have known Jesus most closely, at this point, they were deserting. And we see, sadly, a failure of the men close to Jesus towards the end of his life to show up time and again. Peter, of course, Judas, of course, and then the guards who mocked and killed him and hailed him king of the Jews. But it's the women who stand not only at the crucifixion and not only at the tomb, but here at the judgment. It's the women who stand and keep watch. And in this case, Pilate's wife, sadly unnamed in the passage, speaks a true word to power. She could have just been disturbed in a dream about another innocent brother being killed. Rest in peace, Marcellus. She could have been convicted in a dream and said, "Ah, man, another one gone. Ain't that something? Too bad." Could have just said it to her girlfriends, could have said it to her children, could have just kept it to herself. But instead, she goes and speaks truth to power to somebody who can do something about it. What is God teaching you in your sleep? Your dreams, anybody here remember their dreams? Sometimes? Sometimes, okay. Well, we dream all the time. And even if we can't remember, we go into sleep with lucidity, with special clarity, and we come out of sleep with these special clarity. And so our sleep can be a place where God teaches us and can teach us about those who stand condemned, which is how sleep is tied in this case to sanctuary. Because the second question is, who are the condemned for whom you can provide sanctuary? Pilate's wife saw that Jesus stood condemned, and she sought to protect him by speaking to her husband. Who do you get to see in your midst who stands condemned and you get to protect with sanctuary? These are urgent times where this question needs to be asked and answered by everybody who follows Jesus. And so we're going to go into the songs going forward that speak to sleep and speak to protection and sanctuary. As we do, I invite you to reflect on your own sleep practice. It's fascinating that we spend one-third of our lives sleeping, and yet oftentimes in church, it's rarely a topic of subject. And not only is it something that we do biologically for a third of our lives, it also, in Scripture, advances the narrative time and again throughout the whole canon. Abraham has a dream about the slavery to come for his people for 400 years. Joseph goes into a deep sleep before Abraham. Adam goes into a deep sleep, and from that, Eve comes. Joseph ends up going and having these dreams and interprets dreams of others. And then, of course, we get to the New Testament, and Joseph, the father, earthly father of Jesus, has these dreams too. And so they're dreams that advance the narrative time and again of what God is doing to save the world. And so my hope is that you are able to attend to your sleep as an extremely vulnerable place where God watches over us. Thomas Hobbes talks about how not even the king can defend himself when he sleeps. He talks about this in his book, Leviathan. No matter how powerful a ruler may get, they are still utterly defenseless when they're drooling on themselves. This is a place for us to receive God's grace and be in awe and thanksgiving that God protects us. And so with that keeping us in mind, we'll go to sleep as we lie down and then sanctuary.
Lord, give your shelter. We can't keep watch and give the rest we need. As we lie down, Lord, help us rise again. For one day we'll sleep forevermore. Lie down, Lord, give your shelter. We can't keep watch and give the rest we need. As we lie down, Lord, help us rise again. For one day we'll sleep forevermore. Lord, give your shelter. We can't keep watch and give the rest we need. As we lie down, Lord, help us rise again. For one day we'll sleep forevermore.
For one day we'll sleep forevermore.
for one day we'll sleep forevermore.
One more time.
For one day we'll sleep forevermore.
Amen.
I'll protect you. Bring your safety, I'll protect you. God, 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 bring your safety, this is my way. I'll protect you. God, bring your safety. 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 This is my witness.
We'll protect you.
We'll protect you. God, bring your safety. 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 This is our witness. We'll protect you. God, bring your safety. 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 This is our witness.
This is our witness.
This is our witness.
Last time.
This is our witness.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, now we've come to the harmony. So we started off in our solos. Everybody's got their own solo. And now we're coming to the harmony. So you get to turn to your neighbor and ask, what did you hear in the solo? We'll have a chance to share a little bit. And then come back. Enjoy your conversation.
Thank you.
Last comment. That's always the most painful thing to say during this. I just love to see folk talking during service. You know, we got fellowship hour afterwards. Love to see you in the hallway. Definitely go check out Lanicia upstairs in the Sunday school room. I'm such a big fan of her work. Incredible. So happy we're here together today. So all that for sure, but also glad that you all have these conversations about rest. In the interest of time, I'd like to share one song that we've written that you don't need to sing, called Moan, that came out on Inauguration Day. And it's based on Matthew 2:18, where Rachel weeps for her children, for they are no more. And it also came, we recorded it on Epiphany Sunday to kind of speak to the underside of Epiphany. And so my hope is that you can hear whatever moan you bring here today, that you can find your place in the moan that we raise. Blessings to you. we're coming to the end, and my hope is that our time today has inspired some creativity for you as a community to think about how rest shows up, all that goes into rest, Sabbath, sleep, sanctuary, moaning, all that goes into the rest that we have that we can give. You have cards and pens in your pews, and I invite you, if the Spirit has given you any ideas about how creativity might be further nurtured here, because you all are already doing the work, but doing more to nurture the creativity that God has given, we invite you to write that down and place it in the bin as you go outside. As we come to the end, I like to give this reflection from Paul that says, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words of wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with lofty words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. And we'll end the way we began, which is with this prayer. God, I resolve to rest in you. God, we resolve to rest in you. God, we resolve that they will rest in you. We are loved because you made us, not because of what we make. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.